All right, these gentlemen are going to be passing out these flyers or postcards that you can use. I'm going to talk about this just a minute, Barry. That you can use for inviting others. The Benton Church of Christ had a recent gospel meeting, and they did a goal of inviting a number that they wanted the church to invite, and that really helped them have a successful meeting, and I want us to do that as well. And I want to challenge us to invite 750 of our friends and family and neighbors to come and be with us for this very relevant seminar. In fact, the seminar is dealing with six questions, and so it's all built around six questions that are life's most important and relevant questions that our culture and our world is wanting to know. So I think it gives us a great opportunity. Remember, our theme this year is Everyone Win One. And so this is an opportunity for us to invite others to come and hear the gospel. Now, Eric Lyons is going to be here, and Friday night, the schedule is a little different. Friday night, he'll be dealing with two questions, and it's going to be more of a lesson-focused sessions. And we do need some help with babysitting during that time, and so we have a volunteer sheet over here for people to sign up to do that. And Saturday night, we're going to have a meal, and we need some people to help with that. And, of course, we need people to bring food. But if you'd like to help host that, grill the hamburgers and hot dogs, or a lot of things around that, see me. And on Saturday night, we'll have two more questions. And then Sunday morning and Sunday Bible study, we'll deal with two more relevant questions. Now, how we're going to do this 750 invitations is next week when we begin our service, I'm going to ask you to note how many invitations you have and have done this past week on your card that we fill out before services. And then we're going to have a keep up total. And our goal is by the Wednesday before, so that I believe it's going to be like July the 29th, we want to have 750 invitations. Now, you can invite someone through email. You can send them a text. You can do word of mouth. You can send them a postcard. You can. We're going to have some advertising on Facebook and social media. You can use those methods. But let's invite people. And let's, as a way of motivating one another, let's keep up with how many we've invited. And let's, as a church, invite 750 people through word of mouth, through the mail, through technology, to come and be a part of this special seminar. And one thing it's going to do, if we invite others, we're going to build more excitement, energy for it ourselves as well. And so this tells you on the back all about the topics, and it is a great way to invite others. Note, as we begin, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 26. And in Galatians 5, we're going to be looking at the Spirit versus the flesh. And in this text, this is going to teach us about the great Christian conflict that is raging. And this great conflict is not just good and evil. It's not just going on in our world between what we often think of in the broad spectrum of good versus evil or God versus Satan. But I want you to know this morning that the great conflict is going on in your life. And this great conflict that's been waged from time immemorial between good and evil is really centered in our hearts and in our minds. That every one of us is waging this war. And Paul is going to talk about the two main combatants in this inward struggle in our hearts. And he names these the flesh. And the flesh is our natural man. It's what we desire to do in our human nature. And it's dealing with this carnal, sinful desires we have. And on the other side is the Spirit. And of course, this is the Holy Spirit, which Christians have received at their baptism, which has the desires of God. And this inner war is going on. And I want you to know that people in the world have what they often call a moral conflict. A moral fight or war going on between in their own heart between good and evil. I want you to know for a Christian it's a lot different. Because we have a greater importance with this conflict because we're representing Christ. And it's not just between good and evil, but it is between the Spirit and our flesh. And so Paul is dealing with this in this passage. And we're going to study this. This morning we're going to look at this great conflict. Then tonight we're going to talk about what are the works of the flesh and what are the fruits of the Spirit. Notice that, first of all, they are completely opposed to one another. And so we want to emphasize the word different and how they are completely opposed to one another. I want you to note that there are first different desires when it comes to the flesh and spirit. If you look at chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against or opposed to the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. But for these are opposed to each other." The term desire is used four times in this text. And it means the idea of craving or longing. You have a passion for it. It's what you're focused upon. The flesh has various desires. Not all of these are sinful. We have a desire for food. We have a natural desire for sexuality and for that aspect of our life. We have a desire for rest. We have all kinds of desires. We have a desire to be loved. We have emotional desires. And the Spirit also has desires. The Spirit and God's Spirit has desires for us. It wants us to have that abundant life, the best life possible. It wants us to be holy. It wants us to be righteous. It wants us to be good. So these competing desires, it's like that old illustration about the angel and the demon on our shoulders. They both have different desires for us. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, Paul, and you may want to mark in your Bible Romans 6, 7, and 8. We'll be flipping back there as well as Galatians 5. In verses 4 through 8, Paul, in writing about this, says not to walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." You see, this is a battle that really is going on in our minds and where our minds are set or centered. You see, these are polar opposites in the battles in our minds. Have you ever noticed that when you get to thinking about something, you see it all around? For example, if you're thinking about buying a particular brand and model of car, or if you've purchased that brand and model of car, you didn't really notice that car very often probably, but now it's like everyone, you're seeing it. Well, there's that car I just bought. There's another one. Like, you see it all over the place. I was talking to someone recently. Amanda's grandmother had to go on a very low sodium diet. And before, she didn't really worry much about salt. But now, it's like she thinks about salt all the time because she's not supposed to have it. And I was talking to someone else, and they were telling me that it's the same for diabetics oftentimes, that they're not supposed to have very much sugar, you know. And lots of times, they were telling me about one person said that they really didn't have much of a sweet tooth. But then the doctor told them that they were now diabetic and they could not eat very much sugar at all. And it's like now they said their body just wanted to eat sugar all the time. And it was like the greatest struggle for them not to eat sweets now. Well, what caused it? A lot of it's in our mind, isn't it? We're thinking about, we can't have that sweet. And lots of times, if you want to motivate someone, tell them they can't have it, right? And isn't that how Satan works? With the flesh. He tells us we can't have these things. And what does our mind get centered upon? What we as Christians, we think, aren't able to have. And what the world has. See, the battle is really in our mind. Because of different desires. But notice, there is different satisfaction. In verse 16, Paul says of chapter 5, he says that do not gratify. Now the term gratify involves the idea of satisfy. It cannot be satisfied. In fact, it means to finish, to bring to a completion. It says the flesh has a desire of satisfying itself. For example, when it comes to food, which is not in and of itself sinful, obviously, we have a desire to get filled up, to get full. But just with food, you can eat a great big meal for lunch today.
You can go out to a good buffet and you can get all full because you got a desire, right? In fact, some of you are already pitching. You're thinking, man, preacher, let's go. I'm getting hungry. But you know what? I guarantee you about 6 hours from then, what are you going to be wanting to do again? Eat again. And if you're my kids, it'll only be 30 minutes. Right? We have a desire to eat again. The flesh is not fully satisfied, is it? But they have different desires when it comes to satisfaction. The Spirit has its satisfaction in pleasing God. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, Paul, in writing about this concept, would say in verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus saw the cross as a joy because he could please his Father. There's different satisfaction. The flesh is always going to leave you wanting, never fulfilled. But the Spirit offers fulfillment in that you can please God and give joy to God. And then there's different results. In verses 19 through 21, you have this horrible list of sins that are described in Galatians 5. And we call these the works of the flesh. And these are things that involve religious sins like idolatry and sexual sins. And the first little bit like fornication and sensuality. Sins of relationship, like rivalries and dissension and jealousy and strife. And sins of social nature, like drunkenness and envy and carousing or party. And then Paul says, I'm going to throw in a lot of other things too, and all things that are like these. And then, of course, we have the fruit of the Spirit. It's like you have one tree, the Spirit, that gives off multitude of fruits. Like one apple tree that gives off a lot of apples. You have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You have 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. And each of these represent our love for God, our love for others, and our love for ourselves. And how we are to live out our faith in that. These are the different results. Completely opposite. Now tonight we're going to go through the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit and look at each of those terms. For this morning I just want you to note that they are different results. Whichever one you focus on is going to give a different result. And then notice, because we are owned by different owners. Satan owns the flesh. But in verse number 24, we read that Christ owns those who belong to the Spirit. They belong to Christ because they have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is dealing with the same concept, but he deals with it in much more length. When he talks about that we are slaves, for example, in verse number 18, he says, you've been set free from sin, having become a slave of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of natural limitations. For just as you were once presented your members as slaves to impurity, you were a slave to Satan, slave to sin, which led to more lawlessness, so now you are slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification or to holiness. In fact, Paul says you had different owners. One, you were a slave to Satan, which led to more sin. And the other, you're a slave to Jesus, which leads to holiness and righteousness. What I want you to realize is this inner conflict between flesh and spirit, the spiritual battle that you and I fight every day, is really one that is completely opposed to one another because of different desires. This flesh wants something different than the Spirit. You know, when we give in to the flesh, we got to realize we're going against what God wants for us. When we give in to the sins that are listed in the works of the flesh, whether they be lying and deception or greed or any kind of fleshly sin, We're going against what God wants for us. It's different satisfaction. The flesh is never going to be satisfied, and we're never going to be content. We're never going to be joyful when we focus on the flesh. Different results. We're going to have different fruit in our life. Different results are going to come based upon whether we give in to the flesh or the spirit, and ultimately different owners. There's a couple key battle tactics, though, that I want to emphasize to how we win this battle. How we feed the spirit and starve the flesh. Or Paul says, crucify the flesh. There's two things I want to mention. And I think this text really brings this out. It matters what you do. It matters what you do. Christians have long struggled with the false doctrine that you can think right, you can feel right, and do wrong. You follow me on that? In other words, your heart can feel like you love God, and you can love God in your emotions, and you can know right, but the body, and this is how the Corinthians and others put it in the Old Testament, and this is the New Testament. In the New Testament, it deals with something called Gnosticism, and John's epistles and others are going to deal with this concept where they separated the flesh and the spirit. And basically what they said was, as long as my spirit is right with God, my flesh can do what it wants. In other words, it doesn't really matter what I do, because, and here's what our world says today, everybody's going to do bad. Nobody's good. Everybody's going to do evil and sin, so you might as well just go ahead and do it. As long as you love God, it's going to be all right. Hey, Paul didn't believe that. Paul says it matters what you do. You see, it starts in the mind, but the result is in the action. Folks, all of us are going to be tempted. All of us are going to struggle. And it's not wrong to have it in our heart and our mind to be tempted with the flesh. But it becomes wrong. It becomes sin when we act upon it. When we fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh are going to be there. But it is sin when I start acting upon those lusts of the flesh and doing them. This is why Paul says you've got to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. You've got to fight against it because it matters what you do. In fact, Paul says the issue is one of eternal salvation in chapter 5, verse 21. He says that those who practice these works of the flesh and those things like them will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, it matters what we do. Just as it matters what we do when it comes to the Spirit, that if we're really led by the Spirit, if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're doing what God wants us to do, then we're going to be loving in action. We're going to be having patience in action. We're going to be self-controlled in action. We're going to be kind and gentle in action. It's not just going to be an attitude, but it's going to be an action we display toward others. You see, it matters what you do. And so this is why we must deny ourselves, and take up our cross daily and follow Him. But the second key battle tactic is to realize that freedom comes through God's mercy and His grace. You see, Paul mentions in chapter 5, verse 17, that the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other. Now, Romans is really a fuller explanation of what Galatians is in brief. And in Romans, you get almost three chapters on this topic. All of chapter 7 is dealing with it, some of chapter 8, and chapter 6 as well. But in chapter 7, Paul will focus on this inward struggle that he has. And he's going to talk about how he has a desire to do right. For example, in verse number 18, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that in my flesh I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. He fails, for I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do is what is I keep on doing. Paul's talking about his life under the old law. And he says, I'm trying to make myself keep the Ten Commandments, for example, or the old law. He's trying to be righteous through law keeping. And he says, I want to do right, but I keep failing. And then Paul comes along and he says, verse 23, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin. I want to be very clear as we talk about this conflict. It matters what we do. We don't need to rationalize or justify doing wrong. But I also want you to know that no one is going to live this life without giving in to the flesh. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to give in to the flesh. We're going to fail. And that creating rules or boundaries or things and seeking to get victory over this through law, as the Old Testament did, is always going to be a failure, because you're going to want to do that, but you're going to slip up, you're going to mess up, you're going to fail. So Paul says at the end of this chapter, verse number 24 and 5, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1, therefore now, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You see, freedom comes through God's grace and mercy. You can be forgiven. There's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ. You can be forgiven, so therefore you love and you serve and you do the fruit of the Spirit out of a love for God. Because you've been freed. You've been freed from having to live perfectly. Because you're a wretched man if you try to live perfectly. Because you can't do it. You see, the key battle tactic is realizing that it's about what we do. So actions matter. But it's about our sanctification and our maturity and our growing and us crucifying the flesh more and more through the grace of God, so that when we do give in to the flesh, we realize that we have strength to move on because of the victory that's been given to us in Jesus. Who is winning? Who's winning in your life? You know the old story that is so good to mention, and it goes in various ways. About the inward struggle, the old Indian said it's two wolves going on, one the flesh and one the spirit, raging within us. Man who had a dog, who was a dog fighting person, had two dogs, and he said, I can always know who's going to win. He said, well, how do you always know who's going to win? The one I feed that week. It's like that old Indian, those two wolves, who's going to win that inner conflict? The one you feed. Who's winning in your life? Is it the flesh? Are you feeding the flesh with its desires? Or is it the Spirit? Are you feeding the Spirit and desiring and seeking the Spirit? The inner conflict. This morning, if you're not a child of God, if you haven't accepted the Lord through faith, through repentance, through confession and baptism, to have your sins washed away, to be born again, do that this morning. If you need to repent, if you need to rededicate your life, if you need to be forgiven and committed once again to walking in the Spirit, come us together, we stand and sing.